The following is an exclusive presentation of the Southeastern Sports Radio Network, powered by the North Shore Media Group.
It's time for Inside Southeastern Football with Frank Selfo, live from Brady's in downtown Hammond on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network, powered by North Shore Media Group. Inside Southeastern Football with Frank Selfo is brought to you by Brady's in downtown Hammond, Boning Supermarkets, Rindy's Quick Stop, the Bill Hood Import Corner, Bloomberg & Associates, Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff Gerald Sticker, Miele Printing, Supreme Toyota, Creighton Townsend Homes, Tangipahoa Parish President Robbie Miller, Apocalypse Sports, Slint Hearing and Balance Center, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, Allstate agent Colby McCurdy, and Supreme Toyota. And now, live from Brady's in downtown Hammond, here's Alan Waddell.
All right, good evening and happy Labor Day here to Hammond America. As we're here talking Lion football, back on our normal night on Monday nights, we're going to be with you from 7 to 8 o'clock every Monday during the football season. As Southeastern opened up their football year this past weekend on the road in Ruston, Louisiana, as they took on the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. And in a game where Southeastern had more first downs, more total yards, was 50% on third down, held Louisiana Tech to 3 of 10 on third down. The box score was a little misleading. Some turnovers there for Southeastern. This was a really tight game, especially in the first half. It was 0-0 for most of the first half. And then a little 10-minute stretch there in the third quarter allowed Louisiana Tech to kind of pull away. But a lot of positives coming out of this game. We're going to talk about that as Southeastern will be back in action this Saturday. They'll step into FCS play as they're going to take on Murray State, the Racers, up in Murray, Kentucky. They'll play that on Saturday night at 6 o'clock. So we got a lot to cover here tonight. We're looking forward to being with you all night long, all the way to 8 o'clock, catching up on what's going on inside the program. Let's take a break. When we come back, I'll be joined by the head football coach here, Southeastern Lions, Coach Frank Selfo. This is Inside Southeastern Football with Coach Frank Selfo, presented by Brady's on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network, powered by the North Shore Media Group.
Rindy's Quick Stop Kitchen is a proud supporter of Southeastern Athletics and is located across from Southeastern Louisiana University at 306 West University Avenue. Rindy's Kitchen offers Louisiana favorites such as po' boys, fried chicken, and more. Rindy's Kitchen, open from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 11 a.m. to midnight Saturday and Sunday. Give Rindy's Quick Stop Kitchen a call at 985-543-6954. Rindy's Quick Stop Kitchen, proud supporter of Southeastern Athletics. Line up.
Hey, tailgaters, want to be MVP of game day? Head over to Boning's Markets to stock up on chips, dips, and all your favorite munchies. Fire up the grill with barbecue essentials or grab a sandwich tray from the deli for a quick win. Need dessert? Cookies and cakes from the bakery are always a crowd pleaser. And for drinks, beer, wine, and specialty liquors, they've got those too. Stop by one of their four convenient locations today. Petico, Ponchatoula, Robert, and Laranger. Visit boningsmarkets.com. Or follow them on Facebook for all the specials.
It's kickoff time at Bill Hood Hyundai, and we're bringing unbeatable deals all season long. I'm Scott Navarro at Bill Hood Hyundai. Football season means we've got championship deals on every car in stock. Come see the all-new 26 Hyundai Palisade, or take advantage of 0% financing on all remaining Palisades and Santa Fe's. So don't fumble the savings. Rush into Bill Hood Hyundai today, or visit us online at BillHoodHyundai.com. It's good!
Life is unpredictable, so when the unexpected happens, you need more than just an insurance policy. You need a trusted agent by your side, guiding you through the claims process. That's exactly what you'll find at Bloomberg & Associates, where they believe in building lasting relationships with their clients. You'll work with the same agent and dedicated customer service representative, giving you peace of mind when it matters most. Why wait? Visit them today at 1180 Highway 51 in Ponchatoula.
All right, welcome back. Just getting it cranked up here on Inside Southeastern Football with head coach Frank Selfo, presented and live here at Brady's in downtown Hammond. I'm Alan Waddell. Thank you so much for joining us. At this time, we're going to welcome to the show the head football coach of your Southeastern Lions, Coach Frank Selfo. Coach, happy Labor Day, and thanks for being here with us tonight.
Appreciate everybody coming out. I know there's probably room at the beach that you could be there, but you're here tonight, or maybe you just came back in. I know Shirey just got back in, and Here he is over here at Brady's tonight. Thank you, Brian, for showing up.
Yeah, great crowd. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. Absolutely. Coach, you opened your season this past Saturday on the road at Louisiana Tech, a team out of Conference USA. And, man, you know, we went up there a few years ago, and it was a 45-42 shootout. Yeah. This was a little bit different. It was really a defensive struggle the entire game, really, for both ways. You hold those guys under 300 yards. The turnovers were really the difference, I think, in the game. And just your overall thoughts of this one on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think the disappointing thing was the turnovers, but the self-inflicted wounds. That's what got us. You know, we had three false starts. We lined up in the backfield. We had two special teams penalties, two holdings. You know, you're just not going to win games like that against teams that are at that level. That's just not going to happen. So we put ourselves in some holes, especially in the first half with a couple of false starts to start a drive. And when you start in either first and 15 or second and 15, it's just hard to get back into the chains and get into that thing. But I think initially we had some good things going on. Both sides of the ball, we had to prepare for something completely different than what we had. Because of the coordinator situation, I thought our plan was good. I think both staffs, both sides did a good job of executing what we needed to get done and go through it and not have our players surprised. We knew there was going to be a couple of things. I think on defense they probably gave us a lot more different stuff than they did on offense. And I think their talent level is a whole lot better on defense than it is on offense. But so that's why they were able to do a little bit more. But then at the same time, when you look back at our drives and our drive starts and what ended our drives, what killed us was, not so much third down. We're 50% on third down, 8 out of 16. But what killed us was the first and second down, getting us outside the chains, and then the three turnovers. I mean, both of those, two of the turnovers ended up in the red zone. One of them, they intercepted on a 2-yard line. I mean, you know, that was the first opening drive of the game. So there's a lot of disappointing things that took place. A lot of positive to take out of it always. I think our guys competed. I think they played hard. They played all the way to the end. There was no giving up in them. And, just a lot of times that when they have extra players like that to keep throwing at you, you start seeing the breakdowns in the special teams and things like that when you guys start wearing down a little bit.
When I had a chance to talk to you on the air after the game, you were visibly frustrated. I mean, I thought that you felt
– we don't play like that. Our teams have not been like that. We take care of the things that we can take care of. We're the least penalized team last year in the conference and one of the least penalized teams in all of FCS. And we pride ourselves in that. And when you have an older team, we can't use this game as a learning experience anymore. We're past that. We got to go ahead and do the things that we need to be able to do and not grow into our program. We're there. We're here right now. We got to win. And our guys know that, and I know that. And that's what was disappointing. I felt we would have had a better showing. And it wasn't how we played. That wasn't it. It wasn't none of that stuff. It was the fact that we had some self-inflicted wounds, and then the turnovers were all preventable, that we could have taken care of those things.
Coach, you held those guys to 262 yards of offense, under 300 yards. They were only with 30% on third down. You were able to get off the field on third downs. You really did a good job against them defensively. Talk about how you felt like that side of the football defended Louisiana Tech on Saturday night.
No, I thought they did a good job. They didn't give us anything that was new. I know they were struggling at the wideout position and also at the quarterback. You know, that was a new guy in there. But they didn't turn the football over. You know, you got to give them credit. They held on to the football, but we didn't get any turnovers. And I think that's where you put yourself in a bad position when you give them three more at-bats during the course of the game, and one of the at-bats you give them is a touchdown going back the other way. We gave him a short field on a kickoff. And, you know, so I think sometimes you go back and you look at it and you look at the stats and they do tell a tale. But when you look at turnovers and the penalties that are self-inflicted, those are the big eye-opening things that you got to go back and correct. And they're correctable. That's the good part about it. If you guys aren't playing hard, if they're busting assignments, if they got a lot of things going on like that, that's tough. Now you're not sure where to go. These are all correctable things. Just stay on sides. Don't fall start. You know, it's just it might have been too big for a few guys that were making their first start or maybe their second start. And so it was when you look at the false starts, it was guys that hadn't played before. So
you talk about the hidden yardage all the time. I thought there was some of that in this game. In their advantage.
Yeah, bunch. It was, I think, 60, about 140 total in return yardage when you look at the fumble, the kickoff, and the punt. It was about 140 yards in total yardage and return yardage. That's hidden yardage. And we got zero out of our kickoff return. Their kicker did a great job out of that. We didn't field a punt. We did a poor job on that. We had the one where KP caught it and then split it and had a chance to score a touchdown, and it just got plucked out and we fumbled it. So, I mean, that we had some opportunities and we just didn't take advantage of them. They did. And, you know, when you look back again, that when they keep sending waves at you, we got the same guys doing the same things and they got different guys doing it. So there's a little bit fresh leg thing in there.
Coach, one of the things we talked about in the offseason and leading up to the year, no Warren Peoples, no Shamar Pearl. I thought we were able to affect the quarterback, though. Talk about that side of the ball a little bit on those guys that were rushing the passer. And we got a lot of pressure, I thought, in this game without having to blitz. With your front four, were you pleased in that area?
Yeah, I think Rowan Briggs and Josh Randall, both of them had a sack and a half, I believe, and you know, we'll announce Ron a little bit as a defensive player of the week. He really played probably his best game since he's been here, really. But he's been preparing for this. He's coming in his own. He's a senior. He's ready to do this. He wants to do this. And he put himself in a position the other night. But I thought, you know, their quarterback position was very stable. He didn't run well, right? He was, and we knew that. So when you have an aiming point, you can turn it loose and get to that spot and get him either off of that spot or you get him down. And I thought Josh Randall did a good job early. I think we had 6 TF tackle for losses during the course of the game, along with the 3 sacks. So it was a great effort by defensive line. The push that we got inside from Ahmad and Caleb, the numbers don't show it that well, but they really pushed the pocket, which didn't allow him to step up. And because of that, we had some pressure getting off the edge.
We knew there would be a new guy under center for your club this year. We saw 2 different guys play, Carson Camp, Kyle Lowe. Talk about those guys and how you evaluate that position after week one.
Yeah, I think both of them did some good things, you know, Alan, and both of them had some screw-ups, right? Neither one of them have played a bunch of ball over the course of the last couple of years, so there's going to be some growing pains. We'll continue what we're doing, getting those guys, trying to get them with a hot hand, trying to get something going. I think you can see the value of both of them being able to run the football. We picked up some yardage with them. Yeah. Both of them did on runs. They can throw the football. We can get the ball down the field. We got to make some plays. We got to find a receiver to come up and go make a play for us. And if we can do that, we got some connections there. But I thought they did a pretty good job managing. They had some checks at the line of scrimmage. We didn't bust any of those. That was a huge step. And now we can grow on that as we move forward.
What about Luke Besh? He was your leading receiver in this game. He's a transfer that came in here, and I thought he had some nice catches in this one. I know that we have some guys that are returners of the receiver position, but there's no Darius Lewis, who was a major part of our receiving core a year ago. You got to find some guys that are gonna catch some balls for you, and it looks like that there's more options. Just in my opinion, it looked like there was more options out there in game one than maybe we saw last year.
Yeah, no, there were. Yeah, I mean, Derek was an isolation guy, right? Not a home run guy, but an isolation guy that we knew we could get the ball to, especially on third downs. Well, we've had, because of Luke and some other guys, now we've got some other guys picking up those third downs for us. So we've got more than one option to go to. And then plus Darius was more of a third and 3-6 guy. Now we got some guys at 7, 8, 9, and 10 that can go get the first down. So I think it puts a little bit more pressure on the defense. I thought our offensive line really did a good job. 2 of the sacks that we gave up, one was on a play action, and the guy read it and caught us back there. That was, you know, bonus for them. The other one was on a corner cat out of the backfield, and we just missed him. So I thought our offensive line did a really good job against their defensive front, especially they gave us some different stuff, like I said, obviously, we didn't know who the coordinator was or what he was going to do. They gave us some different stuff to kind of what we had prepared for.
11 different guys got targets in this game. So you played a lot of guys, and that's not only at the receiver position. I think we saw 3 different tight ends as well in the game.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to watch those guys. I think Cade had a good game in the pass game. I think he knows he's a little disappointing in the run game. Lonnie got in there. We almost got his first catch. It was awesome. He was right there by the sidelines. He had a chance to get it. And then Nathan Wilkerson was in the game. So we played 3 tight ends. Bo Perez came with us. We almost got 4 in there a couple of times based on the situation. So we feel good about that position. I think that's a good position for us.
All right, well, talk about this is the end of this one. I mean, what was the conversation like after with the team? I know that, like I said, you were visibly frustrated on the way off the field. You felt like, I think that this was a closer game than a 24-point game. You know, it just felt closer than that. This was a defensive struggle. It seemed like all the way through. But week one, you just kind of don't know what you're going to get. And they always say the old adage, you big improvement between week one and week two. You get an opportunity to go back out there next week against Murray State.
Yeah, the scoreboard doesn't tell you what we talk about in the locker room. Even if we had won the game and we had played the exact same way and the scoreboard would have been flipped, I'd have been ticked off. Because that's not how we play. We don't play like that. We don't have those self-inflicted wounds. I was not mad at the effort, the energy, the passion that our guys played with. They did all of those things. If you put the game on and you watched it and you didn't think they played hard, then you're an idiot. I'm just telling you. But if they played stupid, then you're very smart if you think that, because they did. We had some stupid mistakes that we can correct. That's the most frustrating thing, and that's what I shared with them, that these are things that we can fix internally, that we don't have to go find some new guys to do this. We can do it with the guys that we have, get those things fixed, and we can change the outcomes the way we want them. And if you're not happy with the outcome, let's change the process that got us to that point, which is let's take care of the things that you can take care of and control the things you can control.
Just getting started. That's the head football coach of your Southeastern Lions, Coach Frank Selfo. We're going to be with you until 8 o'clock here tonight, and we'll be doing this every Monday night here at Brady's. Certainly want to thank them for being our host again this year. Every Monday night here at Brady's, it's happy hour all day and all night, plus 99-cent wings. Come on out and join us for a show. Let's take a break. We come back. We're going to walk through this game a little bit more. We'll turn the page later on and get you ready for Murray State this weekend as Southeastern steps into FCS play. This is Inside Southeastern Football with Frank Selfo, presented by Brady's on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network, powered by the North Shore Media Group.
Mealy Printing is a proud supporter of Southeastern Athletics. Mealy Printing has served the North Shore, New Orleans, and Baton Rouge metro areas for over 35 years with an emphasis on meeting customer expectations and firm deadlines. Mealy Printing offers both digital and offset printing solutions and specializes in various types of marketing, statement, and variable data campaigns. Check them out online at mealyprinting.com. Mealy Printing, proudly supporting Southeastern Athletics. Line up.
School zones ensure our children's safety when they arrive and leave from school. I'm Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff Gerald Sticker, reminding you to be aware of the school zone signs and please slow down and drive the speed limit. School zones are busy, so please be alert for students crossing the street, boarding and getting off buses, and getting into other vehicles. Also, as always, stay off your cell phones when driving. And for all of our students and staff, let's have a safe and successful school year.
Hey Lions fans, this is Bo Gray again with Supreme Toyota and Hammond. Not only can you always expect more from your Supreme Toyota family, but expect more green and gold this football season. The green you'll save on all new Toyota cars, trucks, and SUVs in stock, and the gold championship trophy the Lions will be playing hard for this year. So line up with Supreme Toyota, Cajun 107.1, and the Highway 104.7 before every home game live from Friendship Circle. So go green, go gold, and go Lions!
Lock and load your magazine.
Apocalypse Sports, your one-stop shop for all your gun, ammo, and accessory needs and wants. Featuring SIG, Dana Defense, Glock, Vortex Optics, and many more. What's that? Looking for somewhere to fire them off?
Please just collect your switch and save the semi.
Apocalypse Sports Gun Range is now open, welcoming walk-ins and offering monthly and annual range passes. Go check them out today on the I-55 Service Road in Ponchatoula.
Welcome back. This is Inside Southeastern Football with head coach Frank Selfo. We're live here at Brady's in downtown Hammond. Thank you so much for joining us wherever you may be as Southeastern opened up their football season this past weekend on the road in Ruston against Louisiana Tech. As we're going to spend a few more minutes on this game, and then we're going to turn our attention later on in the program. And Southeastern will step into FCS play this weekend. They're going to go on the road to Murray, Kentucky, and take on the Murray State Racers. We'll tell you all about that coming up here later on our program, so make sure you stay with us until 8 o'clock. We were breaking down this one on the road this past weekend in Ruston at Louisiana Tech, and I mentioned this in the open, Coach. This was you corrected me off air when I said that this was a nothing-nothing game for a majority of the first half. It was a nothing-nothing game until the final play of the first half as they kicked the field goal, as it seemed like both teams really just kind of feeling each other out, and both defenses doing a good job getting off the field.
Yeah, I thought we did a good job in the first half. You know, it showed it. That last drive, again, it was we fit it wrong, and they got a 12-yard gain. The guy was clearly out of bounds, late hit. Gave them 15 more. I think if we had we had just stopped them on that play, they would have shut it down and taken a knee and would have gone in 0-0. But they got 3 points, and then they also get the ball for the second half. So they had a 2-for-1 right there, and I think that's what, kind of got the ball rolling. And, just third quarter for us, just got us.
Let's talk about the first possession of the game for us. We put a couple of first downs together. Yeah. Carson Camp started at quarterback in the game, and I thought both quarterbacks that played added a little dimension that we didn't see really a lot last year was some mobility. And we talked about, I think we were 9 of 18 on third down, and some of that was the ability to scramble and pick up some yards in some passing situations and move the chains. We moved the ball out, past midfield. We go play action, look like Max Protect, and took a shot. I mean, we look like we're trying to take a shot there and go on top early.
Yeah, we were. We thought we could beat him over the top. Jordan Williams was down there. He had him beat. Ball was slightly underthrown. He's got to go compete for that ball, The pick, I think he came down on a 2-yard line after the interception. But we wanted to do that, and we want to go over the top. We want to take those shots. We got to get guys to go make plays for us. Got to give them a chance to make that play. But, again, like you said, the protection was good. But that was part of the game plan going in. We thought we'd be able to move the football, which we were able to. Moved the ball down the field. Got a couple of, three first downs on the first drive. And got it down there in shot territory, so that's what we did.
Yeah, took a shot down the field. And look, for those that don't know, both of these guys that played quarterback for us, you kind of alluded to this, but they haven't played a lot of football in a while. Like Carson, he had been a starter. And he was coming off of an injury. He hasn't played football really in the last couple of years.
Right.
So I'm sure, that's something as, your timing will get better. Maybe if that ball gets thrown out there just a second earlier, maybe it's not underthrown at that point.
Right. And both of those guys are going to grow. That's what I'm saying. We saw progress in the game. We saw them do some good things in the game. They also screwed some stuff up. But those are things you can fix over time with reps and things like that and game experience. And that's why we'll continue to do that. Carson went down. I said, why are you playing two quarterbacks? Carson went down during the course of the game, banged his knee a little bit. He had to come out for a while, and Kyle went in. We're about to just keep on moving, So there's reasons why things happen the way that they do, and you got to prepare for the next guy up at any time.
Well, one thing that we've seen you do here in your tenure, where we've had multiple guys play is – a lot of times they had different skill sets.
Yeah.
Do you see that with these two guys? Is there different skill sets? Are they? I mean, I know one's a little taller than the other, but not. I mean, it still looks like they're both pretty mobile and can throw the football. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we don't have a different call sheet for both of them. We got the same thing for both of those guys. I think they can both do them. Maybe in time, one will become more comfortable with certain things. It's not like we got a Robbie Mahfouz back there standing up and throwing for 9,000 yards, right? And then that's coming off of the brown door on a Friday night, and he can go do that. I think we'll see if they do separate themselves as to what they can do or what their specialty is. We'll see that. We really hadn't seen it, though. So I think both of them, we can keep the game plan the same way that it is right now and continue to play those guys.
A guy that returned from a year ago, Brandon Hayes, we saw him really be dynamic in the kick return position last year. I saw he was returning punts this year, something he didn't do for us a year ago. You also had Prejean return punts as well. But Brandon Hayes, he kind of lined him up all over the place. He was in the slot. He was even in the backfield at some point, getting the ball at the running back position. Just from one game, it looks like his role may be a little bigger this year.
Well, I think what you got to be able to do is put the ball in his hands sometimes. You got to figure out a way to do it. We saw that on kickoff returns last year. I think he's been doing a good job on punt returns. He did not have a good night the other night. Those balls should have been caught, and I think he could have advanced them. Again, at the same time, he's never done it before, but he's good enough to do it. He's got to believe in himself that he can, because I think he can. We can. And so he's got to be able to catch him, and it gives him another opportunity with the ball in his hands. And he's a home run hitter for us. Also throwing it to him, handing it off to him. Receiving punts, kickoffs. He can get 12 to 15 touches a game, and I think there's some explosive yardage in there for us if he can do that.
You mentioned the returning punts, and that's something that Darius Lewis was the stalemate.
Outstanding.
You know, just threw him back there. And sometimes you take that for granted of how that's a skill.
Absolutely.
Those punts is certainly a skill, especially when they're running down there at you. And it's something, like you mentioned, the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. And I think, again, we just were so used to Darius because he'd been doing it for so long.
Yeah. And, that's yardage. Again, we talked about hitting yardage. That's yardage that you really count on. So when a guy catches a punt on the – his own 20 and gets it out to the 40-yard line, man, that's flipping the field for us. Because now if we have to punt, we're getting it all the way down inside their 10. So that's a big difference. You know, when you're able to move the football on in the return game, whether it be punts or kickoffs, and Brandon did a great job on kickoffs. He didn't get any the other night because the guy from Tech did a super job kicking it out of the end zone. But when you're able to get the ball and return it on either one of those two and pick up those yards, you're getting first downs that you don't – it doesn't look like a first down, but it really is. Then where you're starting your offensive drives are at.
Jaden Henry, Calvin Smith, Rodeo Graham, they were your main running back ball carriers. Yeah. So talk about those that group and how you felt with game one with those guys.
I thought they did a decent job. You know, the fumble with Jaden was disappointing. He also had a drop, but he's better than that. I saw he had a couple of really good runs and some traffic, picked up some positive yardage. Rodeo in the same thing. I think Rodeo did a good job in protections. That's always important for us. And then, see, Calvin, you don't – you know, you're going, let's not put him out there too soon. Shoot, we threw him right in. It wasn't too big for him. It was pretty cool to watch. You know, he's a true freshman out of Hanville. And I thought he did a good job. He was fun to watch. I think he's going to be a guy to watch in the future as his season goes on. He's a bigger guy, got good vision, and he's going to be a durable guy. He's going to be a three-down back.
You mentioned it was 3-0 going in the locker room. We come out there in the second half. They get the football. You know, that was really the disappointing, in my opinion, where we kick it out of the end zone.
Yeah.
There's a penalty,
yeah,
and they make us kick it again. And now they run it all the way, you know, back up to about midfield. And I thought that was kind of the difference there in the third quarter. And the other thing, you know, in sports, momentum's a real thing. And they got a little momentum there in the third quarter. And they had some short fields and capitalized on them. But what was different, I guess, there in that second half and those first couple possessions? Because the first half, they couldn't do anything. I mean, they got
the field goal at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
So they had a little bit more they elevated their intensity level, right, going into halftime, knowing they were going to get the ball again. We kick it out of the end zone, and we're offsides. Now we got to re-kick. So those guys that just ran 60 yards,
big deal,
got to come back and do it again. It's not like we got another wave we can put in there. So we did it. They get a good return. Now they only have to go 50 yards. They do that. A little bit later on, we're driving down the field again, get inside in the red zone, and we fumble. They pick it up and run it back. And then, you know, that's kind of how it goes sometimes, you know, when you get that momentum and something happens. We thought we could break it. We get a touchdown there. And then we go back down the other way. We get another touchdown. Now we got a completely different game. And instead, we get two turnovers and give them seven. And,
that's right.
You know, and you look at it and you go, well, there it is right there. So.
Yeah, I know it's 17-0 right there. We're down about looks like we're going to score, and then fumble, and it's 14-point swing, just like that.
That's exactly
and
right.
And kind of flipped the game on its head.
And you look at that, and you go, well, when did it happen? How did it happen? They outplayed you. No, they didn't. And that was the frustrating part. Those are the things that we can correct. We don't go back and look, we messed up all of this, and we didn't perform here. We didn't do this. We didn't have the right scheme. That's not it. We didn't perform like we should have done, how we should have. And, you know, look, it comes back to me at the end of the day that the guy's got to be able to not jump off sides, not be able to false start, not be able to go late hit out of bounds, those things. That stuff shouldn't happen. We can't do that.
How do you feel like our conditioning held up? That's one of the things that certainly comes up in these games. And they have more scholarships. I mean, it is what it is.
Well, yeah, they got 85. We got 53. But I think we only had 53 snaps on defense. That's why I thought we did a good job on offense. Holding on to football.
Yeah, 75
third
snaps
downs,
offense.
But we had 75 snaps. So we lost our center for a little bit. We lost our left tackle for a little bit. And then when that happens, you got to put people in. Carson went down for a little bit. One of the running backs, Rodeo, he's banged up a little bit. So we had some people that did get tired. One of our receivers, Deshaun, had to come out for a little while with some cramps. So when you don't have a lot of people that you can roll into and we're running a lot of plays like that, there's going to be a tendency for those things to take place. But we got to live with what we got to live with, and then guys got to go do what they got to do to get ready. Well, I thought Cruz and our training staff did a good job, but when we tell them to hydrate. We tell them overhydrate. I mean, we got to be able to handle it. Whatever the situation is, we got to be able to handle it.
One thing I've noticed from being around you now for all these years is y'all do a really good job of, hey, no matter what happened this week, this next week's a new week.
Yeah, it does.
What do you take out of this one, though, as you kind of wrap it up as you get ready for Murray State?
It's a self-discipline. That's what we got to be able to – the emphasis on that part, the self-discipline. It's – our guys, we had a good practice today. They were running around. The execution was good. We had guys doing the right things and stuff like that. It's the emphasis on the – and I think playing the game is going to help some of these guys, right? The three false starts are about three guys who hadn't played before. So I think that's going to help us a great deal. But at the end of the day, it's just the self-discipline. We've got to be – our teams have never done that. And we did it on Saturday, and that's what the most disappointing thing is. And as we move forward, we just got to eliminate that.
That's Coach Frank Selfo. I'm Alan Waddell. This is Inside Southeastern Football. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have more right here on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network, powered by the North Shore Media Group.
Creighton Townsend Homes is a proud sponsor of Southeastern Athletics. If you would like a custom-built home on your property, call Creighton Townsend Homes at 985-419-9883. Creighton Townsend Homes, I-12 and Airport Road in Hammond.
I'm Tangipahoa Parish President Robbie Miller, and now that hurricane season is here, it's time to get prepared, and we want to help. Team Tangi has created a great hurricane preparedness checklist with important phone numbers, social media contacts, a hurricane tracking chart, and a QR code to sign up for emergency alerts. Let's get prepared and pray our area is spared from hurricanes this year. You can pick up your hurricane chart at any parish government office, any library branch, and the local chambers of commerce. I'm Robbie Miller, encouraging you to make a hurricane plan. For more information, visit tangipahoa.org.
It's game time and there's no room for fumbles. Haven't you lived with hearing loss long enough? I'm Dr. Jenny Dunnington at Slint Hearing and Balance Center, and we're here to help you make the winning play. Whether it's the roar of the crowd or the call of the ref, don't miss a single moment this season. Our team is ready to tackle your hearing loss and get you back into the game of life. So give me a call at Slint Hearing and Balance, 985-273-5795, or visit us at slinthearing.com, because you deserve to hear the final score.
What does it mean to be your largest locally owned bank? It means being more than a bank. Gulf Coast Bank & Trust is a partner, neighbor, and advocate for local success, from healthcare to education to energy and everything in between. Large and small businesses alike, we fuel growth and progress with smart banking solutions. Because when local businesses succeed, we all succeed. Want a bank that cares about you? Get to know Gulf Coast Bank & Trust and let's make it happen. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Creighton Townsend Homes is a proud sponsor of Southeastern Athletics. If you would like a custom-built home on your property, call Creighton Townsend Homes at 985-419-9883. Creighton Townsend Homes, I-12 and Airport Road in Hammond.
All right, welcome back. About halfway home here on Inside Southeastern Football with head coach Frank Selfo. We're live here at Brady's in downtown Hammond. I'm Alan Waddell. We're going to do this every Monday night from 7 to 8 o'clock during the football season, catch you up on what's going on inside the program. Coach Selfo is so gracious to come here and spend an hour with us and always catch us up on what's going on. And we do this every week. We always have a community spotlight member. As Coach Selfo brought this to the table a couple of years ago, where he likes to bring someone up and just kind of introduce this segment a little bit. I know that this is something you like to do every week.
Yeah, you know, I just think the university and the community are so tied together, and they need to be tied together, because I don't know if one without the other can actually survive, right? I mean, I know they would survive, but I don't know if they would thrive. And I think it's important that that our fans get to know who the people are around the community. I think a lot of them do. But then I think the community needs to know who we are. And the more we do that, the more we get people involved with each other, we realize that Southeastern and Hammond do not stand alone. They work together. And they need to be together. And I think that was I kind of saw it when I first got here, but now, you know, you can walk all over the place. You see things, you know, when you see our town and our team and the green and gold and our schedule and all these restaurants and bars and shops and everything else, it's just pretty cool to see the support that we get from the community. And that's, you know, I'm going to introduce Scott Perley, who's our DA here in Tangipahoa Parish, and he's been there for 29 years. I know a lot of people don't think he looks that old, but he is. And he's one of the people that I met early on, you know, when I first got here, and he's become a friend, and he's also a former baseball player here at Southeastern, a big supporter, but he's also a obviously very important piece of the community here. So I want to welcome Scott and to the show tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
Well, you know, the one thing about Scott, too, now, he's down there on the sidelines at the game, Coach. And
I can hear
you. Give us your synopsis of the game Saturday, Scott. What'd you take from being up there in Louisiana Tech?
Well, it would help if we scored. It's harder not to win if you don't score. So,
when you bring an expert on, you got to get expert advice. That's what you got to do. You got to get it.
No, you know, every game, I'm just impressed with when I go to the games and how businesslike your guys are. I mean, they're ready. I mean, they're not down there acting like a bunch of kids. They know it's business, and they get ready in a professional way. And I think that's a credit to you and your staff, the way they handle that. And the other thing is that's a brutal game down there. If you're in the stands, you can see it, but if you're on the field, it's a violent game, and these kids put it on the line every weekend out there, and it's impressive the way they do it. And so it's a lot of fun. You and your staff have done a great job of having good kids and doing a good job, and it's fun. You know, hasn't always been the case here, and we appreciate the effort and what you guys do.
Scott, I want to ask you this as we're talking with District Attorney Scott Perilou. Long time. I just asked you off the air, 29 years? Is that right?
I'm in 29th year.
Yeah. 29th year is our District Attorney here in our area. But one thing that I like to do, and we do this a lot before the games, is we get to see these other campuses. You know, we get to go see these other buildings or whatever, other facilities. Your thoughts on the new building that's going in there in the end zone at Southeastern?
Well, obviously we need it, and it's going to be – it's going to be impressive, hopefully, and just elevate the program even more. And we've seen it at other places. You know, even Nichols beat us to the punch with a facility down there.
Right.
So it's great to be in the mix, getting something new, getting something modern, and it's exciting. Really, it's going to change the landscape, I think, at the stadium, and it'll be exciting for the kids and the fans as well.
Yeah. No. I mean, look, what he's saying is it's 100% needed, but. You know, in this day and time, when you go out there and you go to a game, you want the experience. The fans will come back if they get a great experience. It's not always just loyalty and you graduated from there. We need to get other people involved, right, to put them in the stadium. Well, they need to have something to entice them to get there. We got to play good ball. That's on us. We got to win. That's on me. But we got to do other things to get them there. And I think upgrading the facilities always helps anytime you invest in a program. That's important. And then, you know, we talked about earlier about the collective, getting money, getting guys, get people to chip in $25 a month for 12 months. That's going to allow us to hold on to the players that we do have here now, and then also maybe get some other guys in here. So the product on the field is going to be good. Facilities will be better. Buy your season tickets. Get out there in 2 weeks and make sure we make the first game. Scott?
Coach? Your thoughts on that comment there?
No, I mean, most of the people in the room here have been here for the duration, most of the time with Southeastern, and you think back, that facility has come a long way. I mean, we improved it with the press box and the Victory Club and all that, took it to another level. But it's a great place to watch a ball game. It really is. But having that new facility, it's just going to take us up another level. We saw it this weekend at Tech. Tech has a modern facility, but you see them moving even further. You know, with an addition in the end zone for tailgating and some alumni functions and whatever that's going to be. So. You have to keep moving and progressing, I think, to keep your program moving in the right direction.
Absolutely.
And now we've got some great leadership with Dr. Wainwright, who's in the back of the room and working with us to get that done. So it's been a lot of fun, and we've come a long way, but we always have to keep getting better.
Yeah, I didn't know he was here.
Yeah,
he stuck in
on you back there.
Yeah, I didn't know he was
here. He had the hat.
Hey, Dr.
Yeah.
Wainwright, how you doing today? Yeah. Line up. Yeah.
All right.
Give him a round. What are you guys doing? Slide, please.
We're talking with District Attorney Scott Perilou, and just a couple of minutes left to hear to go on our segment. What's going on in the DA's office? Kind of catch us up on what's going on.
Well, we're busy, unfortunately. You know,
we had a prison break. Yeah, to catch up on that one.
Yeah. Usually when I go speak somewhere, my wife will tell me, talk about something positive. Well, we just don't deal with a whole lot positive, unfortunately. But, you know, we live in a safe community, Alan, we're very fortunate. But we have to be diligent in what we do, and kind of a way y'all approach it. It's a business-like approach. We got to be efficient. We got to be effective in what we do. We work with people to try to help them at times. That's the great thing about the job. We have a lot of discretion. We can use that to help people, and can't always help people. Sometimes the end of the road comes, and we have to do some things. That's not helpful, but all in all, it's been a good run for me, and I work with some great people who are good at what they do, and that's what makes it doable. And it's not always fun, but I do enjoy the people I work with. I enjoy the mission that we try to do, and it's been a good run, and it's getting close to the end. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I hope it's not a big train coming at me.
No, it's not.
I know when I got this job, I reached out to a lot of people who have been head coaches before, and they go, man, make sure you find out who the DA is, because your players are going to do this stuff, and you better stay on top of it. And I can honestly tell you, I really hadn't had to pick up the phone. And I did. I found out who he was, and I was excited. He was on the hiring committee. But I hadn't had to pick up the phone and call him.
Just a couple times. Nothing.
Yeah, two of them was for me, I think, and one of them was for one of the assistants. And you know, but other than that, everything was pretty, you know. But that's what makes you feel good about your team, when you don't have to do those things, and a guy like that doesn't have to get involved, because if it is, then something went wrong, right? But it's always nice to have somebody here that you know that's personal. But this is Hammond, right? This is Hammond. This is what it's all about. The police chief, the district attorney, the mayor. I mean, everything. The president of the university, Brian Shari, Robbie Mahfouz. I mean, look at that. You got people all over the place like that. And it's just, you know them. They're personal. And it's just an awesome place to be.
And what does Brian do? Brian? What does he do for you?
He's here every Monday night.
Yeah, he got 99 cent wings.
I owe you $3. Thanks for coming.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for spending some time with us tonight.
Yeah,
District Attorney
it.
Scott Perry.
I'd like to say,
you know, in a public setting, you know, 29 years, thank you for what you've done for our community. Well, we really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll have more. This is Inside Southeastern Football with Frank Selfo, presented by Brady's on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network, powered by the North Shore Media Group.
When it comes to protecting what you love, you want an insurance agent that cares more. Cares more about your world, more about what you need. And that's exactly what you'll get with Ponchatoula Allstate agent Colby McCurdy. An agent who doesn't just know what it's like to live in Ponchatoula, but one who wants to protect life here as much as you do. Contact Ponchatoula Allstate agent Colby McCurdy for your free quote today. Allstate, you're in good hands. Allstate and affiliates offer products and services subject to availability, terms, and conditions.
Hey, tailgaters, want to be MVP of game day? Head over to Boning's Markets to stock up on chips, dips, and all your favorite munchies. Fire up the grill with barbecue essentials, or grab a sandwich tray from the deli for a quick win. Need dessert? Cookies and cakes from the bakery are always a crowd pleaser. And for drinks, beer, wine, and specialty liquors, they've got those too. Stop by one of their four convenient locations today. Petico, Ponchatoula, Robert, and Laranger. Visit boningsmarkets.com. Or follow them on Facebook for all the specials.
It's kickoff time at Bill Hood Hyundai, and we're bringing unbeatable deals all season long. I'm Scott Navarro at Bill Hood Hyundai. Football season means we've got championship deals on every car in stock. Come see the all-new 26 Hyundai Palisade, or take advantage of 0% financing on all remaining Palisades and Santa Fe's. So don't fumble the savings. Rush into Bill Hood Hyundai today, or visit us online at BillHoodHyundai.com. It's good!
School zones ensure our children's safety when they arrive and leave from school. I'm Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff Gerald Sticker, reminding you to be aware of the school zone signs and please slow down and drive the speed limit. School zones are busy, so please be alert for students crossing the street, boarding and getting off buses, and getting into other vehicles. Also, as always, stay off your cell phones when driving. And for all of our students and staff, let's have a safe and successful school year.
All right, welcome back. This is Inside Southeastern Football with head coach Frank Selfo. We're live at Brady's in downtown Hammond. I'm Alan Waddell. Thank you so much for joining us. We want to thank District Attorney Scott Perilou for spending a few minutes with us for our community spotlight, as we're now back to football here on our program. And this is the time of the week that coach announces his players of the week. He does this every week, as he has a couple of meal sponsors that take care of him. Murphy Seafood, the Sam and Chris Santor, they have the Defensive, Offensive, and Special Teams Player of the Week. And then Garrett Insurance, he sponsors a Player of the Week with the Scout Team and some student athlete stuff. Coach, I know this is something you're excited about, and yeah. Go ahead and give us your players this week.
Yeah, these guys are awesome. You know, you know when you go back through, you look at the Scout Team guys, and then they're probably not going to dress on Saturdays and everything else. Well, they work hard. You know, do they have enough energy and pride in who they are and who our team is, and are they willing to give? Like I said, we don't play with each other. We play for each other. And are they willing to do that? And sometimes you get guys that, you know, they just coming in, maybe older guys, and they just hadn't quite cracked the lineup yet. But we got to have them somewhere because they provide the best competition for our guys to sharpen their skills and to make them better. And that's what these guys do. So I'm really proud of them and happy for them. So here we are. It's for Gayron Insurance. John David, thank you again for doing this for these guys. Our first one is going to be our Defensive Scout Team Player of the Week from Ottawa, Canada. His name is Edison Folo. Raise your hand, Edison. A true freshman for us.
Long way from Canada.
Yeah, yeah. He speaks French. If anybody in here speaks French, Edison speaks French. So he can converse with you in that. I think he says stuff about me sometimes, and I'm not quite sure, but I'm working on it. I put my phone on that translation when I talk to him just to see if he says something bad about me. But I'm not sure. Let me know when you do that, Eddie. Our next one is our Offensive Scout Team Player of the Week. Came to us from Tulane. He's a sophomore wide receiver from St. James High School, Kai Preen. Raise your hand, Kai. There you go. I don't know how many wings y'all ordered, but I don't think there's a live chicken in Tangipahoa Parish. Gee whiz, guys. There's only four of y'all. Our next guy is our offensive scout. Our defensive scout team player of the week. He's a it was pretty awesome. I'm sorry. Our scout team player of the week.
Special teams
player of the week. I can't read. I don't have my glass on. He's a wide receiver. Comes to us from Hanville. He's a transfer from Louisiana Tech. I think he's going to have a good future with us. I think he's going to play this year, and I think he's going to make an impact for us this year. As soon as he picks everything up, it's going to happen. He's got way too much talent. Dakota Williams. Now, here's my funny one now. This one I love to death. This is our academic leading lion of the week. It's a guy that's, they go to academics. Our Morgan McGee does all of our academics. She's our academic advisor. She does a great job with them, monitors them, helps them with tutoring, assignments, things like that. When we ask each week who it is, she tells us, and she tells us why. And with this guy, she said he comes in, his assignments are already done. He has done everything. I don't have to look over him. I don't have to make sure he's doing it. He's not on his phone. He gets everything done. He gets it done in a timely fashion. Pretty cool, right? He's a freshman. He's from Leeds, Alabama. Connor Nelson.
All right.
Also a quarterback. So, yeah, you'll see him in the future. You'll see him in the future.
All right, let's look at our offensive and defensive special teams player.
For the game this week, offense, defense, and special teams player of the week, Charles and Debbie Santora do this. They feed our guys over at Murphy's. They used to do it a long time ago. They started it up again last week, and I want to thank them so much. They go in there, and Phil Graziano and his family and everything take care of them. So our the special teams player of the week is a junior defensive back. He's from Monroe High School, Ja'Kari Jones. Our offensive player of the week is a guy that's been here since 6 years, man. Starting at right tackle and had a heck of a game the other night from De La Salle High School, Noah Devlin. And then our defensive player of the week is from Denton, Texas. Been here for 4 years. He's a senior. Best game he's ever played at Southeastern. He just really was a disruptor the other night. Had a tackle and a half for TFLs, and then also had 1.5 sacks. Was disruptive the entire game, Rowan Briggs. Very proud of those guys, man. They played well. They played hard the entire time.
Yeah, I thought our defensive ends, him and Josh Randall, really got after the quarterback.
Yeah,
they did a good job. And, you know, that's one thing, you know, that gets lost sometimes. But when you can affect the quarterback with four, it just really allows you to stay strong there on the back end.
Yeah, and then, you know, with not having to take a lot of snaps, they weren't tired.
Yep.
Able to keep them in, and they got multiple reps. You know, a lot of times if you're getting too many snaps, they got to sit on the side for a period of time. But those guys were fresh, and it showed. It showed during the course of the game.
Certainly want to thank Murphy Seafood and Gayron Insurance and the Santora family for what they've done for this program that we're going to do each and every week here on our show. It's now time. We're going to turn the page from Louisiana Tech and start looking at Murray State. We'll give you a full breakdown for them on them in just a moment. But, Coach, got to be – this is a return trip against Murray State. We played them a few years ago, I think back in 2022.
Yep.
We'll beat them 48-14 here in Hammond. But it's nice to have some of those non-conference – before we talk specifically about the Racers, to have those non-conference FCS games, cross-conference games. And you're going to have two of them in back-to-back weeks, obviously with Murray State and then Mississippi Valley next week out of the SWAC. But it's an early opportunity to have some comparisons as far as conference against conference.
Well, here's the best part. Murray State last year moved into the Missouri Valley.
Yeah.
Missouri Valley is probably the strongest conference in the country, right? One automatic qualifier, five at-large bids last year, I think is what it was. So they're in that conference. Those guys are going to watch this film. Everyone on their team, every one of those conference teams will watch our game against Murray when they play them. So it'll give us a chance to showcase who we are to a different crowd, to a different group of people that have influence on who gets into the playoffs. So it's very important, and we play well. Not so much on the scoreboard. I mean, obviously we want to win a game, but it's not about blowing anybody out or anything like that. We want to – you got to be able to look the part. You got to be able to look like a playoff team. Well, playoff teams don't turn the football over. Playoff teams don't have self-inflicted wounds. That's not what they do. So we've got to be able to do those things, and that's what we got to put on film for the rest of the country to see. And that's why this game is very important for us. Being a non-conference, cross-conference teams like Alan alluded to, but the fact that we're going to go in there and it's going to be seen by all those teams who have a lot of influence on the playoffs as the season progresses, that's what's important about that.
All right, let's take our final break. We come back, we're going to tell you more about the Racers as we go behind the enemy lines right here on Inside Southeastern Football with Frank Selfo, presented by Brady's on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network, powered by the North Shore Media Group.
I'm Tangipahoa Parish President Robbie Miller, and now that hurricane season is here, it's time to get prepared, and we want to help. Team Tangi has created a great hurricane preparedness checklist with important phone numbers, social media contacts, a hurricane tracking chart, and a QR code to sign up for emergency alerts. Let's get prepared and pray our area is spared from hurricanes this year. You can pick up your hurricane chart at any parish government office, any library branch, and the local chambers of commerce. I'm Robbie Miller, encouraging you to make a hurricane plan. For more information, visit tangipahoa.org.
Lock and Load, your magazine.
Apocalypse Sports, your one-stop shop for all your gun, ammo, and accessory needs and wants. Featuring SIG, Dana Defense, Glock, Vortex Optics, and many more. What's that? Looking for somewhere to fire them off?
Place to collect your switch to save the semi.
Apocalypse Sports Gun Range is now open, welcoming walk-ins and offering monthly and annual range passes. Go check them out today on the I-55 Service Road in Ponchatoula.
Hey Lions fans, this is Bo Gray again with Supreme Toyota in Hammond. Not only can you always expect more from your Supreme Toyota family, but expect more green and gold this football season. The green you'll save on all new Toyota cars, trucks, and SUVs in stock, and the gold championship trophy the Lions will be playing hard for this year. So line up with Supreme Toyota, Cajun 107.1, and the Highway 104.7 before every home game live from Friendship Circle. So go green, go gold, and go Lions!
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. I'm a really big tree near your garage. Now, I'm on your garage and car. And if you don't have the right insurance, the cost to fix this could leave you wishing money grew on trees. So bundle your home and auto with Allstate and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
I'm Ponchatoula Allstate agent Colby McCurdy. Call or text my office today at 985-386-3538.
Based on coverage and limits selected, savings vary subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Auto prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
All right, welcome back. Just a few minutes left to go here on our program as we're going to be with you until 8 o'clock here tonight. This is Inside Southeastern Football. I'm Alan Waddell, joined alongside the head football coach of your Southeastern Lions, Coach Frank Selfo. It's now time to look at our behind enemy line segment of our show as we're going to break down the Murray State Racers as we get you ready for kickoff this Saturday, 6 o'clock kickoff in Murray, Kentucky. And this is this segment is always brought to you by the Lineup Collective. So if you want to support Lion Athletics, Lineup Collective is dedicated to increasing the potential of Southeastern Louisiana University student-athletes through name, image, and likeness opportunities by enabling meaningful partnerships that offer both financial support and personal development. Lineup Collective is committed to supporting all athletes at Southeastern Louisiana University. Join the Lineup Collective today. You can go to lionsports.net. When you click on the icon on the right, the little hamburger icon, there'll be something on the bottom that says donate. You can click there, and you can set up a recurring payments right there online sports.
Go down to football.
Right there.
There you go.
And you can click on it right there. Let's talk about Murray State for just a moment. We just talked about, you know, they're in the Missouri Valley Conference. We played these guys a couple of years ago. This is the third all-time meeting between Southeastern and Murray State. We played them in 1979, 2022, and now obviously here this year in 2025. Lions are 2-0 against the Racers, and obviously Murray got a lot of headlines ever since the College World Series in baseball.
Yeah.
You know, they've always been a really good basketball program with Ja Morant and some very famous names up there at Murray State, and a good tradition in football as well, as we look forward to going up there and taking that trip to Kentucky to take on Murray State. They opened the season against a really good East Tennessee State team, a playoff team in East Tennessee State.
They were on the bubble last year just like us, I believe.
Right. They've been a pretty regular playoff appearance team, though. Right. And East Tennessee won that game 45-17. But, Coach, from getting ready for these guys, obviously not a common opponent we play all the time. A new coach. He was a first-year coach a year ago. I know they brought in a lot of new players for this season. Talk about what the Racers bring to the table on Saturday night.
Yeah, they have cleaned out not only the entire defensive staff. So, once again, we got to go – you know, figure out what's going on from the past. He had been coaching in high school, really, the last couple of years. So we've been breaking down high school film. And they played one game already this year, like you said. I think the big thing with them is defensively, they have a safety, Rousey, that had 16 or 18 tackles this past week. So he's a headhunter. He's coming downhill. He's a big part of their defense. They base in their four-man personnel, but they're basing three down a lot of times. So it looks similar to what Louisiana Tech played, but there's a fourth guy that gets involved a lot of times in the run game. Offensively, the quarterback is going to be they got one that was there, but they're playing a new one. So he does a pretty good job. But they got one guy that is a transfer from Kentucky, had 16 targets this past week. So he's their go-to guy. That's the one they try to get the ball to. You'll see him moving him around. They hand it off to him, pitch it to him, and he's a big target guy for him in the pass game. So you see a lot of things go through him. They got a brand new on both sides of the football, really. He's gone out and signed 49 freshmen. Took a load of recruits, basically got rid of the entire team and wanted to start all over again. So they're going to go through some growing pains, which they did this past weekend. But there's one thing, the school board looks like that, but there's at one point in time, it was 24-7 at one point, and they came back and scored 14 points and made it 24-21. They were right back in the game. Oh, excuse me, 24-17 and got right back in the game. And then it kind of got out of hand. They had a couple of turnovers late. So this is a team that wants to win. They're going to be playing at home. I got a lot of respect for their head coach. He's been around. He's been a lot of Power Four schools, so he knows what's going on, knows how to run a program, knows what he needs to get a program going. And the big thing is the funding that they have off the back of the, like Alan was talking about, the basketball program, which is really good. They got a great program there. And then their baseball program going to the College World Series this year. So there's a lot of momentum in the community for the athletic department at the university. And, you know, so he's going to get some things going. Hopefully we catch him before he gets going.
Coach talked about Darius Cannon. He's their leading receiver, transfer for them. 16 targets. He had 11 catches for 86 yards. And 74 of that, Coach, was after the catch. It was a lot of quick throws to him, and he would run after the catch. Jim Ogle is their quarterback. He threw it 35 times in the game, 22 of 35, 226 yards.
He's the offense coordinator's son, so he knows the offense and knows everything about it, right?
That's right. And they ran the ball 28 times in this game as well. So look forward to see what Murray State has on the horizon for this Saturday night. I'll tell you, Coach, you know, if you look at the forecast, it's going to be like in the 60s. It's going to be unbelievable, something that we don't get used to down here this time of the year in South Louisiana. I think the high is 76, but some of the things I saw could be like 65, 66 at kickoff.
Do they have humidity up there?
I don't know.
I haven't been to Kentucky much. Maybe go to a racetrack or something. No, it'd be good for our kids, right? It'd be a good experience for us to go to somewhere else. Again, exposure to another conference. I think that when you look at the Southland, what we're doing, we've got three teams right now ranked in the the top 25, and we're right on the edge of that. And I think it's just there's a lot of good things happening in our conference right now. We've just got to keep exposing and getting it out there. We got to compete against these other teams, but we got to win. We can't just go play them. We got to go win those games, and that's going to be important for our conference, not only for us this weekend, but for our conference this weekend.
6 o'clock kickoff up there in Murray, Kentucky, at Roy Stewart Stadium at Murray State University as the Lions take on the Racers. Coach, just about a minute left to go here on our show. Give us your final thoughts of the night as you wrap up Louisiana Tech. Yeah. Go forward to week two and get ready for Murray State this weekend.
Yeah, we got our paycheck out of Ruston, and now it's to move forward, right? It's time to go play, and we got to do a better job. I got to do a better job, make sure that our guys in a position to do what they need to do to be successful, and then we got to follow through with that. And we'll do that. This team, this is a good team. This is a good experienced team. I don't want anybody to get discouraged about that, because I surely not. And stay with us. We'll be fine. We're going to keep this thing rolling, or we're going to get it rolling. And when it does, but just get out the way. So get on board or get out the way, because the train's coming down the tracks. And feel good about it. I think our guys are ready. I think they realize what happened the other night. A lot of disappointment in the locker room, but a lot of positive things going forward today. When you look at practice and the meetings that we had and the things that we looked at already, I think you're going to see a lot of good things coming in the future for the Lions.
That's the head football coach of your Southeastern Lions. Make sure you tune in with us this Saturday night, Saturday, September 6th, as Southeastern takes on Murray State. 6 o'clock kickoff, 5:30 pregame right here on the network. Join Mark Willoughby play-by-play, Robbie Mahfouz on the color commentary. I'll be on the sideline, and Chris Coleman will be our studio host this weekend on Cajun 107, the Highway 104.7, the Boss 97.7, 1400 AM WFPR. That's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to thank the studio engineer, Ryan Toner, our on-site engineer, Logan Lyons, and the producer of Lion Football, Richie Clark. For Coach Frank Selfo, I'm Alan Waddell. We'll see you next time right here on Inside Southeastern Football, presented by Brady's on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network, powered by the North Shore Media Group.
You've been listening to Inside Southeastern Football with Frank Selfo, live from Brady's in downtown Hammond on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network, powered by the North Shore Media Group. Inside Southeastern Football with Frank Selfo is brought to you by Brady's in downtown Hammond, Boning Supermarkets, Rindy's Quick Stop, the Bill Hood Import Corner, Bloomberg & Associates, Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff Gerald Sticker, Miele Printing, Supreme Toyota, Creighton Townsend Homes, Tangipahoa Parish President Robbie Miller, Apocalypse Sports, Slint Hearing and Balance Center, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, Allstate agent Colby McCurdy, and Supreme Toyota. Inside Southeastern Football with Frank Selfo is a production of the Southeastern Sports Radio Network, powered by the North Shore Media Group, Cajun 107.1, the Highway 104.7, and the Boss 97.7 FM, 1400 AM WFPR. Thanks for tuning in, and don't forget to lion up.